So I will do my best to try and translate Dr. Cook's research. I actually have worked with him in a number of occasions, and I was helping him with planning the study. So what we were interested in looking at, it says trends in smoking and tobacco product use and among individuals with mental illness. And I guess we don't have any relationships to disclose. So you've already heard plenty of information about the serious issues of prevalence of mental illness, prevalence of tobacco use among adults with mental illness. The rates are obviously very high, and in terms of tobacco control, I think it's important to understand that tobacco use is falling in the general population, and as we heard before, that that there's a population here, those with mental illness, that is extremely resistant to efforts that have been successful in other populations. So it makes this population an important area to look at. Smokers with mental illness have had less success in quitting, and yet, as we heard before, cessation appears to be just as useful within this population as it is elsewhere. So possibly a problem is the gap in cessation, and that's what we were just hearing about, the gap in treatment. There's another issue, which is that smokers with mental illness are more likely to be heavy smokers, and so they're both that may make them more resistant to treatment, and also it exposes them to greater risk of harm. There's a surprisingly little amount of research that's been done on really drilling down into the smoking behaviors of individuals with mental illness. And so, for example, there's not any research that we could find on really. There's been one very recent study in 2012 that looked at mentholated products, which found that smokers with mental illness, with severe mental illness but not moderate mental illness, were significantly more likely to smoke mentholated products. In general, an understanding of sort of how differences might play out within this population is pretty unexplored. And other issues, differences by race and ethnicity or other characteristics, there's relatively little information. So the goal of our research was to look at tobacco use and product type preferences among individuals with mental illness. And we were looking specifically at three different factors: at nicotine dependence, and then any full-flavor cigarette use. And that full-flavor cigarettes, this was sort of a proxy of trying to look at whether there were differences in terms of higher versus lower nicotine delivery in terms of the type of cigarette used, and then menthol use. And to look at racial and ethnic disparities in tobacco use rates, and then decompose differences. And we used the National Survey of Drug Use and Health from 2005 to 2010, and then the independent variables that you see here. And I'm not going to try and explain Ben's methods. But if you just look at this slide, we'll report. I'm going to report some unadjusted rates, and then there are a bunch of regressions and the decomposition that I really I don't know how he does it, but I can tell you what it means. I am not a statistician. First, in terms of nicotine dependence, we are comparing. You see the chart on the left is those with mental illness, and the chart on the right is those without mental illness. And you can see that whereas nicotine dependence was not decreased among those with mental illness, and it was decreased among those without mental illness. So those trends differed. And then in terms of full flavor and menthol use, again, you see that those trends differed, that among those with mental illness, the use of the higher nicotine products increased over the 2005 to 2010 time period, and the use of menthol products increased over that time period, whereas among those without mental illness, those rates were constant. So then we did a breakdown in terms of race and ethnicity. Among those with mental illness, the rates of nicotine dependence among whites remained steady, whereas among African Americans, the rates of nicotine dependence actually decreased. And among Hispanics, the rates increased. And in the Asian population, the rates were steady. In terms of product type, by race and ethnicity, for full flavor use, the rates of full flavor cigarettes increased among all of the populations, among the white, Hispanic, and Asian, and decreased among the black population. And again, if you look at the menthol, the use of mentholated cigarettes among the white, Hispanic, and Asian populations increased, and the menthol rates, which were very high among the black population, were steady. About 68% of blacks with mental illness that had a cigarette in the last year smoked a menthol cigarette, and that is almost exactly the same rate as you find in the general population, African Americans without mental illness. So the rates are high, but they're not changing. Okay, so in terms of the regressions, on the first line, it's there's a positive relationship for all three dependent variables for mental health as compared to without a mental health condition. So nicotine dependence, full flavor cigarette use, and menthol use were significantly different between those two populations, which was a surprise. We didn't necessarily go in thinking that was going to be the case, particularly for these different types of products. Then looking at the a regression on the time effect across the whole population, both the mentally ill population and without mental illness, there was a significantly negative finding for nicotine dependence. So the time trend was significant only among within the whole population. The time trend was only significant for nicotine dependence, but it was decreasing dependence, and no significant change for either full flavor or menthol use. And so then looking at the interaction with mental health and time, the only thing that that appeared significant in the regression analysis was menthol, where the menthol, there's a significant effect for menthol where menthol increased significantly over time among the mentally ill population in comparison to those without mental illness. This is a slide that gives a sense of what happened when he did the statistician's magic and decomposed the differences. And I understand that you can see that about 30 to 40% of the difference was explained by these socioeconomic and demographic variables. Age was really the factor that showed that stood out the most. The population with mental illness is a younger population than that without mental illness, and so that may be driving some difference. Some small difference, but for the most part, these characteristics are not the major driver of the difference between those two populations. So to summarize the results of the sort of quick look that we did, between 2005 and 2010, nicotine dependence has declined overall in the United States, whereas among those with mental illness, nicotine dependence has remained constant. The rates of full flavor and menthol use have been constant in the general population, whereas there have been increases in use of the high nicotine products and menthol products among those with mental illness. And although the variables that we looked at help to explain a small percentage of difference, they don't explain a very good deal of it. The rates of high nicotine product use and menthol use are increasing among the white, Hispanic, and Asian populations with mental illness, whereas the use of products among the African American population with mental illness was directly counter to that of other populations. The black rates of both full flavor and menthol products were quite high compared to the other populations, but they were decreasing in terms of the full flavor use and remain steady in terms of menthol use. As I mentioned before, the rates of menthol use were about the same as they are for the the population without mental illness. There are some limitations to the study. Among them, I would highlight the fact that using full flavor cigarettes as a category at all is pretty problematic as a proxy for nicotine delivery, and there are a lot of reasons for that, but that's what we have in the survey data. There's error in the scales used to determine nicotine dependence and psychological distress, and Ben says we have more work to do in understanding the interaction with psychotropic medications, and I believe him. Just a few discussion points. I think I heard some really wonderful things about work that can be done in terms of getting tobacco cessation treatment into addiction treatment settings and mental health treatment settings. So I guess the point of this study, or at least one point, is that one of the things that we need to start doing is understanding the use of tobacco within this population, and there's really not a lot out there. So we need to increase our understanding of differences in product use in order to help inform the treatment strategies. Understanding what is meant by these different trends in terms of different products. And one of the studies that Dr. Hook and I did a number of years ago together looked at specifically at how the tobacco industry targets specific populations. And this might present another obstacle where if there are specific products that are more successful at meeting needs of specific populations, physical or other needs, psychological or psychosocial needs, that can become a barrier to treatment. And the study that we've just done suggests that there are specific product characteristics that are used more within this population, and that they may, in fact, be more capable of supporting long-term product use among a population, or providing more of a barrier to treatment. And so understanding that is important. We need to do more research to determine how to reduce disparities in rates of cessation treatment among racial and ethnic minorities. And to understand the differences that we showed among those groups. And there's really, we have no, at the moment, we have no particular explanation or hypothesis for why the findings with African Americans were so counter to those of the other populations of smokers with mental illness. The fact that the rates of menthol use among Hispanics and Asians with mental illness are showing alarming increases is important. And we have the Food and Drug Administration right now is considering regulation on menthol as a banning menthol, mentholated cigarettes. And so this is the sort of information that I think would be useful in maybe helping them to prodding them towards that determination. So that's, I believe, the end of the study. Yeah. Thank you.